live, and I'm in Southern California, and I will take your telephone calls in a moment. 1-800-636-8686. But as promised, I'm joined by the UFC heavyweight champ. He is coming off a second round stoppage of Frank Mir at UFC 100. My guest is Brock Lesnar. Brock, nice to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, thanks for having me.
Brock, I appreciate it. Good to have you. All right, so 17 months after he beat you, you dominated Frank Mir in the rematch. Aside from the outcome itself, what was the biggest difference for you the second time around?
Well, I think for me it was just, you know, it's always hard to come, for me it's, it hasn't been hard to come back from a loss, but it's just, like I've said before, I'm a sore loser, and to come in and try to make an impact in the UFC the way I wanted to, it didn't really, the start wasn't as good as I wanted it, but, you know, the redemption and the revenge is bittersweet for me, and now it's back to reality, you know, back to being home and back to doing the things that I enjoy doing, being with my family and, you know, taking care of my newborn son and all that good stuff.
So was winning that fight enough, or did you have to win the fight in the fashion that you did, getting pulled off him by the ref?
I guess, you know, from the beginning, I thought that fight, you know, our first fight should have been stopped. I thought it was going to end on the ground, and I wanted to finish it exactly the way I thought it should have been finished, and that was me, you know, pounding him out on the ground.
Brock Lesnar joins us. You know, Brock, obviously there was some bad blood between the two of you. Let me ask you this. Did you dislike him, or did you dislike what he did to you and how that first fight ended?
You know, I don't have any, I've said it before, I don't have anything against Frank at all. I mean, this is, the only thing that I had against him was that I felt that he had a cheap win over me, and I wanted to make it very clear that I'm better than he was, in the octagon. And so there was a lot of built-in anger in me, just knowing that I gave him that first fight. I made a foolish mistake, one that we had worked on, and I couldn't believe myself. I was watching some footage this morning of myself in the first fight against Frank, of how disgusted I was in myself as an athlete, just because of the hours of training that goes into, you know, and then getting caught in something that I knew that he was going to be trying to catch me in. So it was a feeling that I had to carry with me for 17 months, you know.
So it sounds like you felt like you beat yourself more than he beat you in that fight. Is that accurate?
Absolutely, yeah. That's how I felt. I felt like I gave him, I almost felt like I was back in the WWE ring, and I gave a guy a win that didn't deserve to win that night, you know, and it really made me sick for a long time.
Brock Lesnar joining us, UFC heavyweight champ. Hey, Brock, speaking of the WWE, you kind of went WWE after that fight, and you lobbed the fans the double bird. You're up in Mir's grill. Dana White was unhappy about that. You've covered this, but I'm going to ask you again. Did you do anything after that fight that, looking back on now, you regret?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, my emotions, and I guess it was, to me, you know, I trained for 8 weeks to beat a man that and then also to carry a loss for 17 months. And I really let my emotions get the best of me. It wasn't about me, you know, trying to get on the microphone, and I have no idea. I should have waited about 5 minutes to cool down and have my trainers get in there and put the leash on me, you know. But it was just, I was full of adrenaline.
So you got caught up. I mean, for instance, that sort of thing works really well in WWE. You've got to entertain. You've got to get people to watch. You've got to get people to spend some money. You know, do you think to yourself, it worked for me there, it can work here? Or do you think, different room, different place, I need to dial this down, it's not going to play here?
Well, I mean, I haven't done it every fight. You know, after my Couture fight, you know, I was very humble, and that's who I am, you know. But, I mean, it just depends on the moment, I guess. This is a business, you know, Dana and Lorenzo and these guys, you know, ultimately they want to sell a lot of pay-per-views, and that's not my job. My job is to get in there and fight and to win fights, and that's my ultimate goal, is to be the best UFC heavyweight champion this company has had. So I guess for me to get on the microphone at the end, and I could have done it in a more respectable fashion, I guess it's what's done is done. I can't go back and change anything. Will something like that ever come out of me again? Probably not, no.
Brock Lesnar joining us. So what did Dana White tell you after that? Keep it clean. Don't hit me with any four-letter bombs, but what was his message to you?
Me and Dana have a great relationship, and that's I guess it's gratifying to me to know that me and him and also Lorenzo. So it wasn't he didn't come back the papers and the things that I've heard are people are going to spin this thing in whatever direction that they want, but no, he came back and spoke to me as a man and said, hey, we just can't talk about our sponsors and I understood that. I apologized to him before he even opened his mouth, I was like, I knew that after what I said, it's like, oh, I wish I could go back and rewind this minute and a half here, but I can't, so.
Hey, see, Brock, the thing is, so after that, all of a sudden, you're the guy that allegedly everybody's supposed to hate, you're the villain, you're the heel, but what I'm hearing from you is, look, I got caught up. It was emotional. The guy beat me. I carried that around for 17 months. I just got caught up in the moment. You don't sound like the villain. You don't sound like the heel. Is that the way you are? Are you playing a role? How are you going to approach that going forward?
Well, when I got into fighting, and left the entertainment industry, it was an industry that I didn't want to be involved with anymore. But, the fans are going to look at this however they want, I'm just going to have to, like I said, I'm going to have to get in the octagon and just prove that I'm the best heavyweight champion in the world, and that's what I want to. I don't want to take. I'm not going to focus my time and energy on how I'm going to be. I'm going to be who I am, and that's how it's going to be. My number one goal is to carry this UFC belt as long and as possible as I can.
Hey, Brock, that's interesting. When you said, when I got into fighting and I left the entertainment world, when you were tearing it up, quote, in the entertainment world, did you feel like an athlete or an entertainer?
I felt like an entertainer, and that's how we portrayed this. I was every day we pushed the envelope and we tried to I guess in the end make the WWE the most money that they possibly could be made, and when you come from an organization that is purely entertainment, but granted there's athletes like myself, I think I've done a lot for the WWE to solidify. I mean, here I was a WWE champion, and now I'm the UFC heavyweight champion. So the credibility, the things that I've done for that company, are remarkable. It's usually the other way around. Guys leave the sports world and enter the entertainment side of things, and I've done it totally backwards. So, to me, I don't look at it like that. But I mean, if you look at it on the business side of things, that's what's happening, I guess.
Yeah. How about this? I mean, if that was more entertainment than athletics, maybe. And I see your point. But did you take more of a physical pounding doing that than you have so far in MMA?
I have. I did. I'm in control. I was, just telling my wife the other day. The fighting is absolutely the easiest part about this sport. It's the training camps that are where you pick up your wear and tear. It's just to get through 8-10 week training camp and then to go in and fight for 6 minutes or whatever it was. I mean, just think of the hours. On average, about 2 to 4 hours a day of physicality. 5-6 days a week for 10 weeks. That's a lot of hours, and that's a lot of wear and tear for 6 minutes of actual performance.
Brock Lesnar, UFC heavyweight champ. Brock, before you go, what was your reaction to Josh Barnett testing positive for roids and perhaps blowing a chance to fight Fedor?
Well, I think it just shows his, I don't like to talk bad about anybody. You know, I think it was a poor decision on Josh's part. I think it's probably a career-ending decision for him. I mean, and then here, I was talking to my wife about this yesterday when I found out the information about it. Here, I'm the guy that everybody's been pointing their finger at that's been, the steroid freak, and I find it ironic that, it's here. I've been getting this rap my whole career since I was a sophomore in high school, and now you find these guys. I just can't believe they stick their neck out and risk their careers for any of that. And it's just I think it was a bad move on Josh's part.
Do you think you're going to get a shot at fighting Fedor?
Ultimately, someday I would hope. But I want to. I want to be able to get in the octagon, and I think I've still got a lot to prove as a fighter. You know, I want to get a few more fights in, and I want to, it's just not. I'm not here to hotshot anything. As far as the fight business, this is a business for me first and foremost. This is how I make my living, and that's how I look at it. We created a lot of controversy, I guess, the post-fight, and in some ways I look at this, was this a good, I gotta look for the good in all this and not, retrospect on, and reflect on the bad. So ultimately in the end, is there a fight? Would I accept the fight from Fedor? Absolutely.
Hey Brock, let me ask you something. Watching you, and you're such a physical presence, and you've got that giant knife that's tatted up to your chest. And I'm going to ask you this. Is it something that you thought would look cool, or is there something symbolic in that?
Well, all of my tattoos are symbolic to me. I don't just go out and get drunk one night and stumble into a tattoo parlor and say, oh, that would look cool, So the knife on my chest, is the old warriors, live by the sword, die by the sword kind of thing. And it was one of those things where I felt like my back was against the wall. I had left the WWE. In some people's minds, failed to make the NFL. I felt like I wanted to symbolize and have something that when I looked in the mirror that reminded me of probably one of the lowest points in my life, to remind me every day to get off my ass and get out and do something with myself. And that's what I did, so I wanted to have something visual. Most of my art is on my back and I can't see it unless I, make a great attempt to look for it, So I wanted something at the lowest part of my life that was going to remind me that, good things, there's got to be something better than this.
And a final thought, you brought it up. What about the NFL experience? Why did that not go your way, and why do you think you didn't make it?
Well, I think ultimately, I think it was just one of those things. I tried to hotshot it, and I have never said this. I wanted out of the entertainment industry, and I had to have an escape goat, and I wanted to pursue something that. Ultimately, contractually, that I could pursue, I missed a chance. I was reaching out and grabbing for something anything, and it was the NFL. I missed an opportunity when I left college. I had a few things on my plate when I left the University of Minnesota. WWE was one. Stay in college and play college ball, or I had some tryouts. Available to me, and I chose the sure thing, and I didn't. I'm the kind of guy that I need to know the answers to. I don't want to sit and spend the rest of my life wondering if I could have made it. So I attempted the shot. I made it through the full training camp, and then they wanted to send me over to Europe or up into Canada to get some more experience, and it just wasn't for me.
Brock Lesnar, UFC heavyweight champion, coming off that second round stoppage of Frank Mir. Now, Brock, I appreciate the candid conversation. I didn't mean to keep you that long, but it was an excellent interview. I appreciate the visit. We got to do it again soon.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Brock, I enjoyed that. Nice job. All right, Brock Lesnar. So what you have here is the guy that you saw at UFC 100. probably formed an opinion or two based on some of the things that he said and did. My question now is, do you feel the same way about the guy now as you did after that fight? Are you buying it? Do you believe it? What do you think now? Does that change your view of him at all? Or maybe does that just affirm what you were thinking? 1-800-636-8686. I think that's a little surprising. That might not be what you expected. If you thought that he was going to come out like, quote, the heel, the villain, a monster, a guy talking a lot of junk, looking for the next guy to rip up, that's not the way he came off at all. You know, again, is he playing a role? Do you buy that he was sincerely apologetic about some of the things that he said and did? All right, I've got more thoughts on that. Phone lines all of a sudden now lighting up. I will take your thoughts on that conversation when we come back.
You're listening to